Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, Mike here, presenting the Outreach South Cars last class of our extra series. This will be lesson 12, and all 12 lessons are recorded so they can be on your own time. You can go over each one of these and get pepped up and get ready for the extra exam. I'm going to drop a minute here, and then I'm going to read the preamble. Welcome to the Outreach Program, sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to upgrade license status. This will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the extra class license. This course was conducted with two sessions weekly, which were at 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Tuesday, and at 7 p.m., 2300 Zulu, each Sunday evening. Now, for those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS, that's Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra, server at either Echolink node number 96140 or IRLP node 9614. For those who are interested via podcast, please contact myself, Mike Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at voip@voipnet.com to enter the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner in which you will be connected to the course. Letting it drop. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at VOIP at voipnet.southcars.com. It should be mentioned, this course only covers requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email at voip@voipnet.southcars.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website. Now, here's the address to pick these off the internet. It would be www.voip.southcars.com. Please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during these sessions. Do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? Okay, without any further ado, we have two grand instructors this evening. Making sure I get the call signs right here, so I'm looking real closely at what I'm doing here. We will have Kathy, who is K6SUN, and Gordon, KY6V. They will be our two instructors this evening, and this is the 12th and final class. So let's get on down and get this done. We're going to start out. The first instructor will be Kathy. Kathy, take it away.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is the final course of our extra class. And it's been a pleasure to have been your instructor and to have you as a student. So here's my first question. It's Echo 9 Foxtrot 01. And it reads, what is the velocity factor of a transmission line? And so versus reading every single line, I'm going to actually tell you the correct answer, which is delta in this case. And it reads, the velocity of the wave in the transmission line divided by the velocity of light in a vacuum. Let me read that again. The velocity of the wave in the transmission line divided by the velocity of light in a vacuum. There will most likely be times that you will use this knowledge. You may need to cut a piece of coax to an electrical half wave, or maybe make a quarter stub from a piece of coax. One can find the velocity factor for a particular coax you may be looking for at that coax data sheet. So with that, I'm going to throw it out there to see if there's any questions or any comments before I throw it over to Gordon, who will be actually doing the next three questions. So are there any questions? All right, that's great, Gordon. You have a triple header here, and I'll allow you to tell the students the numbers and read the question and the answer and an explanation, and I'll see you down the road a little bit. So KY6V, it's all yours.
Okay. Thank you, Miss Sunshine. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the last hurrah. Or is it maybe just the start of the celebration party when you go and pass that exam? We're going to be starting with Echo 9 Foxtrot 05 this evening. And that question reads, what is the approximate physical length of a solid polyethylene dielectric coaxial transmission line that is electrically one-quarter wave long at 14.1 megahertz? Well, the proper answer here, again, you know, we've been saying it right along. Don't try and memorize these alpha designators. You'll get into trouble. But the answer on our current document is C as in Charlie, and that's 3.5 meters. Now, the formula for this can be found on our study guide, so take a look there. What is important to know here is that the polyethylene dielectric has a velocity factor of 0.66. You're going to find, if you do much playing around with coaxes and electrical lengths and so on and so forth, you're going to pretty well memorize this quickly. Poly is 0.66. Foam dielectric is 0.80 or 0.82. I can't recall which or which. Air is even higher. And so it goes. So are there any questions on this without going through the formula, which again is in the study guide? Over. Okay. Hey, before I go into my next question, I happen to observe a typo on the study guide here this afternoon. You may want to take a note of this or make a note. It's question Echo 9 Foxtrot 09. E9FO9 in the study guide, and the question asks for you to do some calculations based on a 7.2 megahertz signal. And when they worked out the formula came out correctly, but they had a typo where they used 3.2 in the equation instead of 7.2. So at any rate, make a note so that doesn't flip you. Just put the 7.2 in the place of the 3.2, and you'll be off and running. Okay, let me buy a nickel here. Next question is Echo 9 Foxtrot 13, and that reads, what impedance does a quarter wavelength transmission line present to a generator when the line is shorted at the far end? The proper answer in the four that they've given you there is the first A as an alpha, very high impedance. Now, you don't work with this every day, so sometimes you forget about it, but it's good to know. You know, a quarter wave is a handy little device. It'll do an awful lot of things for you. You can cut it for a band pass. You can cut it for a stub. You can just do all kinds of things. Cancel out frequencies that you don't want to have into your system and so on. So if the signal frequency is such that the line resonates at a quarter wavelength or some multiple thereof, the source will see the exact opposite of the termination impedance. That is, if the line is open circuited, the source will see a short circuit, the other end of that quarter wave, or the starting end of the quarter wave, if you want to put it that way, and a short circuit at the point where it connects to the line. And if the line is short circuited, the source will see an open. So it's a flip-flopping. If it's short on the load side, we're talking quarter waves now, it's high impedance on the input side. If it's high impedance on the load side, it's shorted on the input side. So a transmission line with standing waves may be used to match different impedance values if operated at the correct frequency. When operated at a frequency corresponding to a standing wave of a quarter wavelength along the transmission line, the line's characteristic impedance, now put this in your bonnet and think about it, necessary for impedance transformation must be the equal to the square root of the product of the source impedance and the load impedance. So you multiply the load impedance to and with the input impedance, take the square root of that, and you'll know what the impedance of the line is. Any questions on this? This is a very useful thing to remember. Over. Okay. I've got my Android turned on here in the background. Very, very low audio. And boy, its delay is almost a paragraph and a half between my main computer. All right, the last one I have here before I turn it over to Kathy is Echo 9G01. Which reads, which of the following can be calculated using a Smith chart? Hey, Kathy, and my last name is Smith, so we're very happy that they came up with a chart like that. At any rate, the answer is A, and it's impedance along transmission lines. You probably aren't going to have the necessity to use this once you get out of your exam stage. I learned this at school years and years ago, and 50 years in the broadcasting business, and I didn't pick up a Smith chart once. So, at any rate, the Smith chart was invented by Philip H. Smith, for your information. He lived from 1905 to 1987, and it's a graphic aid design for electrical and electronic engineers, specializing in radio frequency RF engineering to assist in solving problems with transmission lines and matching circuits. Any question on the Smith chart? Over. I'm going to have to turn this Android off, Kathy. My goodness, it's got a delay that's halfway around town. Okay, Kathy, you're up, and I won't give the number. I'll let you do it. KY6V, please.
All right, thank you so much. Actually, I had a delay on one of yours as well, so the Android and myself were there, but now the Android is I can hear the Android, and mine is quiet. So my question is Echo 9 Golf 04, and it reads, what are the two families of circles and arcs that make up a Smith chart? And Gordon, I'm glad that they named a chart after us. That's great. The choices are resistance and voltage, reactance and voltage, resistance and reactance, which actually is the correct answer. That is Charlie is the correct answer. Or the last one is voltage and impedance. You know, the use of the Smith chart utility has grown steadily over the years, and it is still widely used today, not only as a problem-solving aid, but as a graphical demonstrator of how many RF parameters saved at one or more frequencies, an alternative to using tabular information. Smith can be used to simultaneously display multiple parameters, including impedances, admittances, reflection coefficients, scattering parameters, noise figure circles, constant gain contours, and regions for unconditional stability, including mechanical vibrations analysis. That was a mouthful. Any questions, any comments before I throw it over to Gordon for his next question? All right, hearing nothing, Gordon, your next question. And I'm going to spill the beans on this one just to be a little different. It's Echo 9 Golf 07.
Spill the beans, you did. Echo 9 Golf 07, guys and gals. I'm still belaboring the comment about unconditional stability. You know, I noticed a little breakup on your last transmission, Kathy, but I don't think it was you. I think it's our internet. And it wasn't bad. So I have turned the Android off. I said, well, the heck with you. And that stabilized one side of the operating desk here anyway. Okay, E9G07, ladies and gentlemen, on the Smith chart, we can't get out of the Smith charts here, in figure 9.3, that's Echo 9-3, what is the only straight line shown? Now, this is easy to remember. The only straight line that is on a Smith chart is the resistance axis. It's D on this particular question pool. So the the question sort of speaks for itself. Just remember that dude going right up the middle of the chart is resistance, and everything else is something else, mostly reactants. Any questions, please? KY6V. Okay, now I'm going back to my original game plan. I am not going to tell them that you're going to come up with E9HO2, Kathy. KY6V, over.
Funny, Gordon, KY6V, but you actually did tell them, and you told them you were not going to tell them. Shame, shame on you. So mine is Echo 9 Hotel 02, and it reads, which is generally true for low band, that's 160 meter and 80 meter receiving antennas. And let me read that again. Which is generally true for low band, which is 160 meter and 80 meter receiving antennas? Your correct answer is alpha in this case. Atmospheric noise is so high that gain over a dipole is not important. You know, what it's really being said here is if you increase the gain of your antenna, the noise will increase also. So with that, I'll throw it out there once again to students or anyone listening. Do you have any questions or any comments? All right, I'm going to actually throw this over to Gordon. But Michael, you're so quiet out there. Usually you hop in with a comment, but that's okay. Gordon, I'm not going to tell them at all what your question is. That is up to you to tell them. So I'm going to throw it your direction. KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, I'll say my question is going to be three added on to your last question. How about that? Echo 9 Hotel 05. Hey, this is a fun area. I don't know if any of you have had a chance to go out on fox hunts, chase the bunny, directional finding. It's just a lot of fun. And this question on HO5 reads, what is the main drawback of a wire loop antenna for direction finding? And the proper answer is the first one in A, and it is a bidirectional antenna. Now, what we are saying here is that using a loop antenna will create a peak-receive signal on either side of the loop. Now, that means in most cases you will not know whether the station you are looking for is in front of you or behind you. We have done a lot of this through the years, and as I said, I've enjoyed it very, very much. I prefer instead of using a loop or a loop with a sensing antenna, to use a cubicle quad, two-element cubicle quad. Now, most of this bunny hunting, but not all of it, you know, is done around the 2-meter and 440 ranges, so a cubicle quad is pretty small. And you can mount that on a broomstick and hold it out the window while you're driving down the street, and it's unidirectional, you know. Just like a beam, so you know which direction you're going, you hope. Any questions, please? KY6V, over.
This is CDQ. I agree with you, Gordon, that fox hunts are a lot of fun. They're at a lot of laughs because we don't know what we're doing. We get out there and we just mess with it, and we never can find what we're looking for. Well, we get so close, it's usually in the evening. We get so close to where the transmitter is hidden, and then we get out there and we can't find it anyway, even if we have all maybe 10, 15, 20 people looking for it. Yes, it's a lot of fun, Gordon. It's a lot of fun. Okay, back to y'all. KD0CDQ.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Well, there's a lot of tricks to the trade. The more you do it, the smarter you become. You know, you have to probably have an attenuator that you can throw in your coax line, your antenna line, in order to calm the incoming signal down, because once you get right on top of this baby, he's going to be almost blocking your receiver. So you just tame him down, or if you're using a handheld, you just take the rubber ducky off, stick the rubber ducky in your pocket, and use the handheld, walk right up to him. All right, Kathy, you're next. You're going to be getting into this area of MPE business, it looks like. KY6V, over.
This is Kilo 6 Sierra, United November, and actually you're correct. And that last time, I actually had a drop-off from you, so yes, I believe it's our internet. And see, since you mentioned the MPE, and actually that is right, in case students or anyone out there doesn't know what that means, but I'm sure you do, maximum permissible exposure. So here's my question. Echo 0 Alpha 02, it reads, when evaluating RF exposure levels from your station at a neighbor's home, what must you do? And the correct answer is Bravo. You make sure that the signals from your station are less than the controlled MPE limits. Now, I ask that you just refer to the OET Bulletin 65, Federal Communications Commission. So with that, any questions, any comments? All right, hearing nothing, Gordon, I think this is your last question for this evening and for the 2016 extra class. So hopefully it's a good question, and I'm not going to spill the beans. Over to you.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Dwelling for a moment on your last question on this OET Bulletin 65, that's a long read, guys and gals, but it's worth it at least once so that you get an overview of what the FCC is asking you to think about and to do. This was highlighted in the handout email that came to you just prior to the Sunday class, which covered some URLs for both Sunday and for this evening. OET Bulletin 65, MPE, maximum permissible energy. We're all talking about don't want people's skin to start warming up and starting to burn because of radiation from your antennas, your equipment. All right, let me buy a nickel. My last swan song here, Kathy's going to end it up on her end, is Echo Zero Alpha Zero 5, AO5, and it reads, what is the one of the potential hazards of using microwaves in the amateur radio bands? And out of the four possible answers, B as in Bravo and the question pool is correct, and the high-gain antennas commonly used can result in high exposure levels. Well, that just all makes sense. So the question really speaks for itself, but remember, however, that, you know, the higher the antenna is, the weaker the response at the ground level. So have a big tower. Any questions, please? Over. Okay. Kathy's son, you are going to end this parade. Echo Zero Alpha Zero 08. I gave the bacon away. Sorry about that. Thanks for being my partner. KY6V, go ahead.
Well, Gordon, it's been my pleasure, and maybe I'll see you in a couple years from now when we do it again, or whichever course we do in a couple years. So, ladies and gentlemen, our final question for this evening of the 2016 Extra Course is Echo Zero Alpha Zero 08, and it reads, what does SAR measure? Your correct answer is actually Charlie, the rate at which RF energy is absorbed by the body. And once again, we tell you not to memorize the alpha designators. They will be the same question, same answers, but maybe in a different order. So be very, very careful there. Specific absorption rate, SAR, is a measure of the rate at which energy is absorbed by the human body when exposed to a radio frequency, electromagnetic field, although it can also refer to absorption of other forms of energy by tissue, including ultrasound. So with that, as that ends our session this evening, are there any comments or any questions? And Gordon, I'm not sure if you want to make any further comments before you throw it to Michael, but let's see if we have any comments or any questions.
Okay, I'll grab it here, Kathy. I'm sure that Mike will emphasize. Yes, I am. Kathy's saying I am not keyed up. Must be your internet over there or something. Any rate, Mike, I'm sure that you'll hit the fact that it's time to put both barrels on the test questions, QRZ or whatever site that they're using, go for gusto, bring home the gold, that kind of stuff. And from our end, that's it. That's all there is, folks. Mike, KD0CDQ, KY6V, over.
KY6V, this is KD0CDQ. Thank you. Thank you both, Kathy as well. Very well presented tonight, very clear, very easy to understand, and nicely done lightheartedly. That was very good. I appreciated that, and I trust those that will be running this tape in the future will really enjoy this final session we just had. Now, that we had the final session doesn't mean that you get to lay back now and kick off your shoes and just start scratching. Now you got to start thinking, when and where do I take my extra exam? So please, research in your community where's the best place for you to take it. Get the time set up when the time is of these exams. Ask them how much it's going to cost, $14, $15. Ask them, find out if they take cash or they'll take a credit card. Usually they want cash because they're afraid of bouncing checks and they don't really have facility for credit cards. So you probably have to bring the exact amount with you. Now, when you take the test, figure you're going to pass this thing. We're not just going to go do it just for like a whim. You're going to pass it. So if you're going to pass this test, you better sit down and start studying. And QRZ.com is a good one. There's others as well. There's good places to go. And keep drilling. It's just a matter of drilling on these questions. You don't need to be an engineering major to pass this extra exam, but you do have to put out some effort. I'll let it drop right here. Yes, you're going to have to put out effort like anything worthwhile in life, but don't put it off. do it, maybe do as I did, set a date in the future, and that's when you're going to take the test. Whether you feel like you're up to it or not, that's when you're going in. You can make all kind of excuses, but just set a date and go. Hey, that's what life is about. Taking chances, not looking at everything going to be easy road. But you better study for this. I would definitely recommend. And if you have to memorize, don't feel like you're some kind of a purist monk, you know, from Tibet or something. You can memorize the answers. That's okay. You don't have to bring your, you can bring your heavy-duty calculator with you, and you can work out the math problems. You'll probably get, 2, 3, 4 math questions. You can work them out, or you can have them in your head, just like a driving test. You just got to pass that driving test, and then you get on the highway and really learn what it's all about to drive a car in all kinds of conditions. But let's get past this test. Let's get this out of the way. And remember, the alpha designators will change, ABCDs, so don't memorize the alpha designators. Don't doubt yourself. I'm saying all these don'ts. If your brain tells you this is the answer, that's the answer, okay? Don't doubt yourself. And when you're taking the test, yes, you're going to have a couple of questions you're going to go brain dead on. You're going to look at the question, what is this? I never saw this before, although your brain did. So what I suggest, when you feel brain dead, put a little check mark next to that question that you can see and go on to the next one. Don't hang on one question, what am I going to say, for a minute? That's even long. Set yourself in your own mind's eye. When you feel it, that you got a question that's got you locked, put a check mark and go to the next one. Don't hang there. Let it drop. I'm just an average bear, just like a computer is an average bear. It's made from people. You know how your computer all of a sudden it slows down and it speeds up and it finds things? Our brains, a human brain made computers. We're the same. We go a little brain dead. We freeze. Your brain will freeze. You'll look at the question. Ugh. But I have found, and I'm a normal dude, if you go on for a question or two, all of a sudden the answer comes to you. All of a sudden your brain says, so-and-so, so-and-so, what? And you look back up at that check mark, oh, there it is. That give your brain a chance. There's all these little synapses up there that tell us about inside our brain. You get all these circuits, and some of these circuits are long and some of these circuits are short. Give them a chance. Give them a chance to make the contact and find the answer, okay? So don't get hung on a question. When you're going through the rest of the questions, all of a sudden there's a bell going to go off in your head. It's going to be one of those questions you just passed that you weren't sure about. Go back to that one you checked. Oh, there it is. Now I see it. Don't doubt yourself, okay? Get out and let's do it. Let's make fun of exams. If you don't make a fun of the exam, it becomes a drag. And I'll tell you, when that DEC tells you passed, boy, you're gonna feel so happy. You're going to feel so happy. So you might as well be happy while you're taking the test. Start early. Start early on that test. Be happy with each question. I'm going to let it drop, and I'm going to give you a final little hint. The hint is the more effort you put in, the more you're going to get back. You spend the time studying. You set a date that your body, your whole being knows on a certain date you're going to take the test, and you go on down and take. I don't care if it's snowing out there or it's 99 degrees. When you set the date, go take it. Go take that test. You're going to feel so gratified when I tell you that you passed that it makes up for any inconvenience you may have to go to. And I think I know I told you before that when I first took the tech class, I knew where the library was. I'd been in that library many times. It's not an unusual place for me. I drove right past the building. I went about 2-3 traffic lights down. I went right past the library. My mind was so fixed on that test, I didn't know where I was. And you may be the same. So don't feel silly if you all of a sudden you can't find the building, you drive past the building, or you trip going up the curb to get in the building. Hey, that's normal. We're all klutzy like that, okay? But take the test, enjoy the result, pay your money, and once you get that extra ticket, boy, you take that extra ticket with you for a long, long time. As far as we know, there's not going to be any retesting to do. You stay with that test and you stay with that grade level. It's so rewarding. So enjoy, folks. Now, we're going to cut off this recording, but these recordings are all there for you. You don't have to do them in any particular order, but please go over these. Go over these and get yourself prepped, get yourself ready to go. Now, the reason I was quiet earlier, my wife was telling me we have 6 grandchildren, and the last grandchild is leaving for university tomorrow. They're all out of state. They're far, far away. And, you know, you hardly see them. Once they go off to school, they're gone. So she said, "You're coming with me to see the granddaughter?" And I said, I felt an emptiness inside, like a donut. I felt an emptiness. Oh, the last grandchild's leaving town, heading 2 states away, heading to Waco, Texas. The only time I'll see her is if I drive down there, because Anna's certainly not going to come back up here again. So stay on the program. Some things are going to affect you more than others, but don't let it go. Don't put it aside. Get into this test and get it done. Okay, I'm going to give Gordon a chance to turn up his recording, and I've got my recording going here as well. We're going to drop this, but remember, you can always contact us at www.boip@southcars.com. Any questions you have, we'd be glad to help you. Anything that's sticking on you funny, send an email to Gordon. He'll take care of you. He won't overlook you. Okay, that's all I've got. It's KD0CDQ going quiet so we can disconnect the recordings. And I can go see my granddaughter.
Thank you very much, Mike. I just want to say one thing before we clip the wings of the recording machines here. You know, those of us here from South Cars that were part of your training staff, we're not going to shut the door on you. We're not going to slam the door and go fishing. We'll be around here as long as it takes. So if you get into things that are still a little questionable to you, hey, we're available. Just drop us an email. You've got it on the flyers that we've been sending you, the emails. It's voip@voipnet.southcars.com, and we'll get right back with you and work out the confusion to the best of our ability and stand by for the next one. So we're not going anywhere, guys and gals. And we want to also ask you to be kind enough and let us know the results of your exam when you take it, particularly that you passed it and you got a gold star. You know, that makes us feel good. We don't want to have to wait until we check you out on QRZ to find out that your license grade has been upped. You know, keep us posted. All right, everybody stand by, and we're going to put the finale on the recorders. KY6V for South Cars.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another in-hour series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.